T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's 6 o'clock. Time for the Morning Mashup.
A recap of the biggest stories of the morning with John and Hugh.
Crazy. Get up. On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Braves have a walk-off from Cakes last night. Nick Markakis' first hit back is a first-pitch home run to win the game for the Atlanta Braves, and they beat the Toronto Blue Jays 4-3, and so the Braves go to 9-5 in the year and then head off to Philadelphia today to face the Phillies with Kyle Wright on the mound. We'll get more into Tuki Tucson's performance and everything else that took place last night a little bit later on. It is a Friday, and that means at 6 o'clock it's time for the Morning Mashup, Hugh Douglas, and we get ready for the weekend here. Because, you know, Hugh, whenever we do the mashup, we're never quite sure what we're going to get thrown at us by Orrin, right?
No, not for the most part. It's pretty. It's like a potpourri or cornucopia, if you will.
Keep me on your toes. That's what I like to do.
Yeah, and it's the weekend.
It's sort of like, you know, we're never sure when the when he spins a record and does bumps what he's going to play.
Exactly.
And, exactly. He is the master of sound.
Yes.
You are the master of sound. All right, what you got for us, Orrin, in the morning mashup this morning?
We'll start with NCAA football, gentlemen. We mentioned earlier about Dabo Swinney. Came out yesterday and mentioned his star defensive end. Xavier Thomas is going to – I don't know if it's going to be the whole season he's going to miss, but he won't be playing a good bit of the season as he went from COVID to not being able to work out and then having strep throat right now he's trying to recover from and just not in a good place physically or mentally to kind of get that done during the season. Dabo also spoke out yesterday about a very interesting topic, a topic that's getting a lot of steam right now. And Pac-12 guys did the proposal, and one of the things they wanted was revenue sharing for all college athletes. I don't know if you remember a while back, Dabo had that speech, that now famous speech, where he said that if you start paying guys, I'll go and I'll do something else.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah, just was not a fan of it. He softened his stance a little bit about it. But Dabo spoke yesterday about revenue sharing, and he's all for it with one caveat.
There are some great things, and I think when you talk about some of the revenue stuff, I've always been for these guys getting some type of lump sum. I've just always wanted to tie it to graduation. And, always good, when you have good conversation. And but as far as my guys, man, they always have had a voice.
I don't know how I feel about that. I mean, Dabo's kind of been all over the place when he discusses stuff like that. I don't know how I feel. I mean, it sounds great. And I'm glad that, he's learned from what he said and is willing to move on and, from the stance that he had. But I just don't know how to take him at this point. Really don't.
Yeah, I think he's kind of making it up as he goes along. I heard one time, way back, Hugh, when we were first discussing whether or not players ought to be paid, and this is a discussion that I remember having with people in the early 80s, I mean nearly 40 years ago, and we've been talking about it for a long, long time. And one of the first proposals was that you would give players a certain amount of money. Let's say back in those days it was like $600 a month, okay, for the year. But that would be split in half, and the athlete would get $300, and then another $300 would go into an escrow account, interest-bearing escrow account, that they would get as a lump sum whenever they did graduate. So they graduate, and then they suddenly get a check for, $15,000 or $18,000 upon graduation as an incentive for them to graduate and for them, the ones that don't play professional sports have a little bit of a leg up. when they walk out of college, they'd have this cash in their pocket. That was 40 years ago. We haven't, almost, early 80s, and we still haven't gotten to that point yet. So it's like, well, let me know when we do.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's one of those ideas. I think that what's happening, and these kids are starting to see that their voices are being heard, John, and they have a little bit more say than actually they thought they did at one point. So, yeah, it this is the time. Whenever you talk about revolution and a time to strike, this is definitely a time to strike and make things different and make things in your favor as far as college athletes are concerned.
This is the Morning Mashup with Oren Romaine at the main controls at the mothership at 14th and Peachtree here. Here is story number two.
Let's go to the NBA. Actually, no, let's stay in college football. I'm going to stay in college football here. Will Muschamp was on with Paul Feinbaum yesterday, and they discussed start of the season expectations. Oh, Paul. Paul asked Will, you know, how are you talking to your guys about the importance of staying safe throughout the season? You know, not going out, kind of just, you know, being as introverted as one needs to be to sort of remain as healthy as one needs to be to play an entire season of football. And Will offered a very interesting comparison on how his guys should be during the season.
Well, I told our team when they came back in June that the teams that are going to be successful this fall are the ones that are going to be responsible and very mature in their decision-making. And that's what you're going to have to do. You need to lead a very boring life right now. I probably look back to your high school days and your college days. Yeah, I couldn't imagine you had many dates. And that's why our guys need to lead their lives right now. They need to lead their lives like Paul Feinbaum did in college.
Never had one.
And boring is good right now. And boring is very good.
I mean, yeah, he's probably about right. I mean, Paul, listen. I mean, we've all seen Paul Feinbaum.
Yeah, not exactly a male model.
He one that, you know, you would think that women are like lining up to see him. So yeah, I mean he's probably not far off from that.
Yeah, you know, credit to Feinbaum for taking it like a sport too. But
but he really didn't have no choice. It sounded like they don't tell you. You know, like in a situation like that, John, cats might seem like they're taking it like a sport, but they really don't. They're probably secretly like hating on them. You know, but you're in a position where you really can't, you know, express yourself, because if you do, it looks bad on you.
Right.
So, yeah, he probably had to go ahead and suck that one up.
Yeah, well, and, you know, but Will Muschamp's right. You got to lead a boring life. I mean, you know,
see, that's what's
going
to be the hardest thing, John, is like, you know, when you get that, like, that Saturday night after you get a big win and to not want to hang out or want to chill out with, you know, Karen. And I don't know why Karen name keep popping in my head, but
Karen.
That's the name that I always go
Karen
with.
Now,
that's
man.
The go. That's the go-to name.
Karen and Becky.
But when Karen wants to hang out, Karen and Becky, or okay, let's say Sasha. Sasha wants to hang out.
Or Stacy.
Yeah, Stacy. Stacy's a good one too. Yeah. So it's one of those things that you have to know that you got to be strong in that situation, young man. Just stay strong. Stay strong and stay your butt in the COVID quarantine.
We'll see if Will Muschamp. I mean, that's great. You know, I wonder how much patience, you know, South Carolina fans are going to have. Yeah. Hey, Coach, you kept us healthy. Have you won yet? You know, so we'll see. All right, story number three in the Morning Mashup.
We'll move over to the NBA here. Got a couple of stories from there. Yesterday during the, I think it was the Blazers game broadcast yesterday, Chris Haynes, reporter, came out and talked about some of the news and the headlines in the NBA, and one of them was the snitch line that apparently has been not as in much use as people think it's been, but he offers a reason as to why the snitch line has not been as popular as people think it is.
Guys, much was made about the anonymous tip hotline intended for players and staff to report violations inside the bubble. But what I found out is players have been circumventing that process. Sources informed me that multiple players are personally calling Commissioner Adam Silver to issue their complaints with things they're seeing in the bubble. If anything, it shows how accessible the commissioner is to the players, and it also shows that he's a full-service commissioner.
No, that just I'm not going to call that what I want to call it, but that's a whole lot. You know, you calling a commissioner – because you don't want to – you basically calling a commissioner because you don't want your name to be associated with the snitch line.
You don't
want to
be on hold,
yep.
Man? Like, I don't want to be on hold. So I'm going to call a big man.
You still – but listen, I understand. Like, I understand the reason why cats are doing this, because you're trying to stay safe. first and foremost. I get it. But, boy, like, you know, to call the commissioner direct, wow. What type of cat, like Daryl used to say, what type of cat are you? Like, that's what you're doing? But I get it. I mean, you're trying to stay safe, and we're doing everything that we possibly can in these trying times to remain safe. So I get it. I mean, you know, I get it. But it's still a bad look.
A little different.
Yeah, that's kind of how I take it, too. This is just, have you ever called the snitch line? No.
No, that's not in my pedigree. But, I mean, like I said, you know, in this time, John, in this day and age, you know, we're trying to stay safe. And I totally understand that. I totally understand that. So I don't want to sit up here and act like, you know, it's not warranted. But at the same time, man, there's certain things, you know, hey, guy, teammate, whoever messing up, Charles, you know, stay your butt out of trouble, man. We trying to make this thing so that we don't get hurt and nobody gets sick. So just stay your butt, do the right thing.
Also,
basically,
it's kind of interesting too. You would think Adam Silver has better things to do than to take a phone call from somebody. Hey, I saw so and so not wearing a mask. If I'm Adam Silver, you know what I say? So call somebody else. I'm not the one to deal with these petty. Hey, if there's an outbreak going on or if there's something major, like, I'm not calling the boss at Intercom if Sean doesn't have candy in his office.
Yeah.
If the underboss doesn't have, I'm not taking my little problems to the big. I'm not going to kill. That's killing an ant with the sledgehammer.
I don't know,
right?
How, but I get you, but it's not really a little problem, is it though, Oren?
It's tough to kind of differentiate, like, all right, what can be dealt with in-house, and what do I need to, like, call a press conference about and scold someone about? Like, we didn't really hear Adam Silver talk a whole lot about Lou Williams, right?
No.
That was a pretty big deal, though, right?
Yeah.
Because it just seems like that was a problem that could have been dealt with. He's put stuff in place to deal with that inside the bubble. I think it's one of those situations where you have to trust the system that he has in place to say, like, all right, Adam knows what he's doing. But, like, when you start taking stuff to the big man, it's like, ooh, hey,
yeah,
I saw so-and-so doing so-and-so. If I'm Adam Silver, all right, good, call somebody else. It's 2:30 in the morning. I'm trying to sleep.
Yeah, that's a little merch. Adam, he ain't doing – he ain't working. Adam, he ain't working. Something like that. Yeah, that's a little bit too much.
All right, story number four.
All right, we're going to wrap it up here with my boy Charles Barkley. Last night, Charles got a lesson on just how the virtual fans in the NBA work on that screen that they show during the games, because Charles didn't quite know how that happens.
People, can she wanted to know, because she's nosy. Can the players, they can't see those people in the stands, can they?
No, they're virtual.
Can't see them.
Yeah, they see the same. They see
the screen. Dummy is a screen.
There's a screen.
Okay,
it's a screen.
Oh, but they see faces. They see everything, the same thing. I was just asking. Maybe they were superimposing for the people at home.
It's like in baseball. You know, you can look in the stands but not see anything when they have those all those fans in the stands.
AuburnEducation.com.
You can't see those.
Okay,
have you never
been on a conference call?
Like, I asked a dumb question.
It is a dumb question. Have you never been on a conference call since the pandemic has started?
What do you mean?
A Zoom call, a Comcast call?
Yeah, but I'm talking about, you know, like Shaq's in the stands. Do they only see that at home was my question.
Oh, my God. They see the screen.
Okay, thank you, Ernie. Yes.
And they actually see the basketball.
Hey, don't try to embarrass me. Don't call me dumb on television.
Charles is a funny dude, man. But, I thought it was a valid question. I thought it was valid. I mean, you know. But those guys, they poke fun at each other every day. So, yeah, I can see why Charles could be in his feelings a little bit.
Yeah, if there were only a show that was as petty as that one.
We're pretty close.
That's what I mean. I'll speak for ourselves. How about Nick Markakis? He spoke for a lot of us. And Tukey Toussaint and the Braves wrapping up a homestand in dramatic fashion on Sports Radio 92 on the game after a CBS Sports Minute.
Fly ball deep toward right field. That ball's going to go. Nick Markakis walks us off on the first pitch.
How about that for a story last night? Nick Markakis in his first start after opting back in, opts a baseball out of the park on the first pitch in the bottom of the ninth inning to get a walk-off, and the Braves beat the Toronto Blue Jays to take the series 2-1, win 4-3, go to 9-5 on the year. And Hugh, one thing is true that I've noticed over the course of watching sports all these years, all these decades, is And I'm not trying to overstate what happened last night. It was a walk-off, and walk-offs happen here. But in the course of a championship season, you played on a number of teams that won championships, the college and the NFL. The special things happen. The little special moments happen in the course of a year. That it was a walk-off is one thing. That it was Nick Markakis who walked it off in his first game back after opting back in makes it a little bit more special.
Yeah, man, because it was one of those things where, you know, he left. I mean, let's just call it what it is. He left. And he came back. He felt some kind of way, and he came back because he didn't want to have his teammates out there, you know, fighting and doing what they were trying to do, and he wasn't a part of that. He came back. And for him to do it in the fashion that he did it, that was phenomenal. I mean, no question about that.
After the game, Nick Markakis talking about being clutch like that.
You know, in those situations, you got to slow everything down. You know, everybody as a hitter wants to be in those situations. But the biggest thing is just go up there with a calm approach, not trying to do too much. And, you know, when you do that, usually good things happen.
Well, it certainly did. He got a breaking ball down and in, and he golfed it out Now, you said there were a bunch of people out at the Chop House, and they were out there.
It looked like it, John. I just saw some people jumping up and down when it came over there and hit the home run. It just looked like it was some folks in there. It looked like it was a nice little party going on at the Chop House.
Yeah, and so then the party was at home plate. I have never seen a home plate celebration quite like what we had last night. Because of the era of coronavirus, normally Markakis might be throwing his helmet in the air and then, you know, how it works. They jump on home plate and everybody jumps up and down and, you know, around him, you know, and if you win a championship, everybody dogpiles. I mean, that's kind of the way it works. But because it was coronavirus, Markakis comes in and touches home plate. He is encircled. If you haven't seen the video, you got to see it. By, I don't know, 15 players or so, and they're all jumping up and down, but they're all 6 feet away. So he's air high fiving. It was really. Here's Markakis talking about that home plate celebration.
It was a little weird, you know, but you know that's the situation we're in. You know, we're still out here playing the game. We're still playing for everybody. We're still playing for the fans. You know, whatever it is, whatever it takes, you know, we're going to do it. The biggest thing is we got the win tonight.
It was a different. Hugh, it encapsulated everything. There's your, you know, I went, oh, okay, all right, I get this.
Yeah, I mean, it was, to me, it just signaled one of those things with a team that's aware of the situation that we're under and that we're in. And they're going to, it felt to me like they know that they have to do everything that they possibly can to, number one, to win baseball games and to try to stay as healthy as possible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's the thing that it relayed to me more than anything, John. You know, you hear about other teams, you know, not taking this pandemic as serious as they possibly, or not as serious as they should take it. And things happening and you know, GMs and owners coming out and defending their guys. And it just feels like the Atlanta Braves right now are looking at this a little bit more serious than other teams might. And they're trying to get through this season and win as many games as they possibly can and put themselves in the best position to be champions at the end of the season.
And maybe that's where they, you know, got that, Hugh, a little bit of a lesson for Freddie Freeman. I mean, when you're a big guy and you're big gun goes down like he did with this thing, you know, it got everybody's attention. That's for darn sure.
Yeah, it's a sobering experience. No question about that. I totally believe that, John, is that, you know, you look how it attacked Freddie Freeman and what he had to go through. Yeah, you definitely look at things a lot different when things like that happen.
All right, how about that win last night? Well, and the win, Freddie Freeman homered in that game last night, a two-run blast, and that win also belongs to, even though I don't really understand the, I mean, I do and I don't. Official scoring, I mean, how Tukey isn't the winning pitcher, but okay, whatever. Yeah, I know he gave up the lead and they tied the game, et cetera. But still, at the same time, was Tukey Toussaint really impressive last night? 9 strikeouts, total command of the hitters early in the game, 6 2/3 innings. Here's Brian Snicker talking about Tukey's big start.
Yeah, I mean, I thought, again, we talked about him just repeating his delivery, getting his rhythm. You know, he had it all tonight. I thought, you know, pace was good, stuff started out. I mean, he came out of the gates locating his fastball with a great breaking ball, and I loved the tempo of his delivery too. I thought it was really, really good. And he stayed locked in.
Well, here we go. Hugh, we all knew, you know, we've seen him have some success in the past. It's kind of a Dow Jones with him, but boy, he was on last night. And if that's the Tukey Toussaint we're going to get, man.
Yeah, John, I mean, and then you talk about the bullpen too. Only got give up one hit. In the bullpen. So yeah, you're doing all the right things. You're checking all the right boxes. You just got to keep it going. I mean, that's the biggest thing. You just got to keep it going.
All right, so how do you rate the starting pitching so far? You know, we all this about Soroka. How do you rate it?
Dang, John, you puff, puff, pass. You can't hit that thing like that, man. You got to slow it down.
Yeah, man, no, I just was drinking some coffee, and it went down the wrong way. Man.
You drinking coffee and trying to talk at the same time? Look
well,
at you.
I, when during talented. Sticker, no, when Sticker was talking about Tukey, I took a sip of coffee. man.
You're right. Talented. Look how talented you are. But yeah, what are we talking about?
We're talking about the starting pitcher there, Hugh.
Oh, yeah, the start. How would I grade the starting pitcher, John? I would say.
The first two starts here, we're talking about post-Soroka injury with Newcomb and Tukey.
Post-Newcomb and Tukey, it's been pretty decent. It's been pretty decent. I mean, you know, it's something to build off of. And I think that's the thing that you have to look at, tempered enthusiasm. You know, because sometimes as baseball fans, you know, we look at outings like this and you know, You set yourself up for, you know, for a big heartache. And, you know, you get a little bit upset if it doesn't go that way. So I would say, yeah, I mean, tempered enthusiasm, look good. Definitely look good.
And now we get Kyle Wright. Braves go on the road to Philadelphia tonight. So Kyle Wright's got to follow that. Snit saw that, you know, he had an opportunity to really kind of, you know, put pressure. You know, sometimes, Hugh, The pressure is a good thing because it really focuses, you know, these guys here. Now, because you look at that room, if you're Rick Kranitz, a pitching coach, you're Brian Snicker, to Newcomb and to Tukey and to Kyle Wright, and you look at the three of them saying, okay, look, you're it. I mean, there's nothing else. You better go out and do it because there's no Felix, there's no Hamels, there's no Soroka, there's no Foldy. I mean, you guys are it. You're the rotation. Go out and act like it. And so far, they've stepped up, which is a wonderful sign because you always look, these three guys, they don't have to be Cy Young, Cy Young 2, and Cy Young 3. All they got to be is really good starters, get you into the sixth inning, and let that bullpen do its thing like you did last night. And you're right to credit the bullpen, but I've gotten to a point where I expect this out of the bullpen. Hey, yeah, okay, yeah, the bullpen's going to shut them down for three innings or so because that's what this bullpen does.
Yeah, but I'll say this, John, and this is the problem, is that, you know, and you're kind of doing what I was talking about. You're setting yourself up. Because these are the three names for the last 4 years that we've been talking about stepping up to the plate. It's great that they got a great outing. Great that it, you know, for him and Sean, Tukey and Sean last night, that they got off to the start that they got off to, something to build off of. You got to keep it going, though. That's the biggest thing. You know, it's like hanging out with somebody and you know, she tell you one night, hey, I'm going to give you a kiss on the cheek. And then, you know, y'all go on a great date and everything. And then she just gives you a hearty handshake and sends you on your way. You know what I mean? It's kind of the same thing.
Right.
It's one of those things where you just have to temper your emotions a little bit and let them build a body of work first before you start, you know, jumping up and down on the table talking about they have arrived. Because they haven't arrived yet. Consistency is the key in this situation.
Oh, no, they haven't arrived yet. No, and really it's not just about them individually. It's not about Nuke individually or Tukey or even Kyle Wright. It's about them collectively. You know, can they give you enough to – look, the Braves can win a lot of games. The Braves can win the World Series if they can get six, you know, decent innings out of starting pitching and get into what I think is the best bullpen in baseball. You're going to win a lot, especially with that offense. So, I mean, you know, this is – it's just good to see it start this way because – now you're 14 games in. You only have 46 games to go. It's such a short season when you're talking about 46 games to go that, you know, you don't have to necessarily – we talked about whether or not the Braves could – not would, but could even make a move for a starting pitcher. And if Alex Anthopoulos isn't pressed into that right now, it could take his time over the next couple, 3 weeks to look around to see if there is anybody. That is just bodes very well for this team. That's all.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that, Johnny. I mean, we're on the same page when it comes to that. If you could get the guys, and I've been saying that, if you can get the guys that you already have to step up for you, it puts you in a much better situation than trying to go out and shop for somebody else and having to give up some of your prospects.
Right, especially if you're counting on those prospects to be somebody next season, right? And so, all good on the Braves front, 9-5 on the year. Hugh, we're a quarter of the way through the season already. Boom. I mean, that's how fast this thing is going to happen. You know, we're, you know, basically through four games of an NFL year headed toward game five. I mean, it has flown here. 7-2 homestand, though not in first place anymore. How about that? If the Miami Marlins, you know, missing all those games and everything, went and swept Baltimore. They're 6-1. And so technically they're in first place ahead of the 9-5 Braves, though they got a lot of doubleheaders to make up. Whew. That's 7 doubleheaders to make up. It's going to be a long haul here over the next few weeks for the Miami Marlins. Coming up next, Morning Menu. Abe, the producer, jumps into the program on a Friday. 3 questions from us, for us, from him, that we always like to ask you. And then some people get petty on Twitter and argue back and forth, but that's okay. And we'll have what he has in store for you next as we turn the page to the Morning Menu with John and Hugh on the Morning Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and worldwide at radio.com.
There's a 3-course meal headed your way. This is the Morning Menu on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Our Morning Show with John and Hugh. Morning Menu time. Hugh Douglas, 3 questions to ask. And then, of course, Twitter gets a hold of it, Hugh. And when Twitter gets a hold of anything, they always have some fun with it, don't they?
But, yeah, it's a party. Party. Shout out to all the people on Twitter that you know, respond to the Morning Menu and hang out with us. That's pretty cool.
And, of course, you can always tweet us at 929TheGame, at BigQ53, at John Fricke, at Oren Romain, and at Abe Gordon, who joins us, producer of this particular program. Abe, what up?
What's going on, guys? How are y'all today?
Awesome.
I'm good, short of having to write a check that I don't want to write later today, but other than that, I'm good.
You say you don't want to write it, but I think at the end of the day, you'll be all right with it.
Yeah, suck it up.
Well, I'm not having a good day. I'll tell you why. I'm supposed to wake up in Vegas today. Instead, I'm here with you two numbskulls.
Wow. We didn't have anything to do with that, man. We didn't do nothing.
Why are you waking up? Hey, hang on here. Why aren't you waking up in Vegas?
This was the weekend of my long planned.
Yeah, why aren't you there?
Canceled Vegas trip. Yeah.
Why did you cancel?
Because of COVID.
Yeah, because of obvious reasons. I didn't think I'd have to explain that to you, John, but apparently we'll go back to the beginning here.
But there are people in Vegas. I mean, they're still doing it. I mean, they're still winning, and they're still playing.
Yeah, he real petty this morning, John. He kind of owned one this morning.
Nah, it's all good. I'm happy to be here. I got 3 good questions for you here. We start, as always, with the appetizer round. We saw a little bit of what Touki Toussaint could bring us last night. We saw the night before, Sean Newcomb. And hopefully tonight we see what Kyle Wright has in store. Which of these 3 guys has the highest ceiling? Newcomb, Wright, or Touki?
I'm going to say, and I'm going to go off a little bit of history here. I'm going to have to go with Touki because Touki was the one that, you know, name you heard of quite a bit. Sean Newcomb, I think, was a pleasant surprise, but I'm gonna say Touki. I'm gonna go with Touki on this one.
Well, I think Touki has the best stuff. Can he corral it? That's my question. You may be right. It may be Touki. I'm gonna say that the highest ceiling really is Kyle Wright, but yeah, I can see where Touki. You know, if Touki could corral it, Kyle Wright was number one pitcher in college baseball for a reason. He has all the earmarkings of being a long-term starter, which is why I've been so disappointed with him because he ought to be. You know, really an established starter by this point, in my opinion. Touki has the best stuff. Wright has all the makeup. So to answer your question, I'll go with Kyle Wright.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think I'm going to lean, and this is all what you feel, what you think. I think I'm going to lean with Hugh on this one. I really do like the stuff that Touki has. I told you guys yesterday, I was at his debut. You could see and feel just how good he can be.
Mm-hmm.
You saw a little bit of that last night. And I threw the stat in the rundown, about his curveball. Half the time he threw his curveball last night, it was either swung on and missed or a called strike. And when you get a curveball working like that to go on with a 94-mile-per-hour fastball, and if you can locate... I mean, that's some knee-buckling type of stuff. And because of that, I really like the upside that Touki has. We talk about Newcomb before. You're also right, John, about Kyle Wright and the stuff he brings. But boy, I really like when he's on, I really think Touki can be super, super good. So that's where we are there. All right, you teased earlier, John, here, main course now. a little bit about the coaches poll. Wanted to get your thoughts, Hugh and John, about three specific teams that come in ranked 5, 10, and 15. Which coaches poll ranking is the bigger surprise? LSU at 5, Notre Dame at 10, or Michigan at 15?
I would say, just off of what you just said, Abe, I would probably have to say Notre Dame at 10. Notre Dame is one of those funny teams where, I mean, you know, they kind of like, you don't really hear a whole lot about them in the offseason. They just kind of come out of anywhere. Michigan, I think that, you know, they're probably ranked where they need to be. They probably should be a little bit higher because of the position that Coach Harbaugh's in. He needs to win this year. No question about that. So I'm gonna say Notre Dame. I'm gonna go with Notre Dame.
I think I'm gonna go with LSU. I know they're defending national champions, but and they've got, you know, good young quarterbacks. But those good young quarterbacks are not named Joe Burrow. I know they have a lot of talent.
They got a pretty good defense, though. They got a pretty good defense still.
Right? No, they do. And but is it out of the question that LSU in a 10-game season goes 7-3? No. I mean, because of the nature of who they have to play. No. So I think that, you know, I'm not saying LSU Hugh isn't a good football team. Maybe I'm not saying that LSU isn't worthy of being defending national champion. They were great last year. I'm saying that it's entirely plausible, given the nature of the West, that 7-3 could be a record for LSU. And thus, you know, look, they could be 7-3 and be an exceptional football team. But that doesn't get you the number 5 rating in the country. That gets you more about the number 16 rating in the country. So. To answer your question, I'll just say LSU.
Yeah, you don't have to sell me on this one, John. I'm in agreement with you. I would be very surprised if LSU ends the season in the top 7 or 8, maybe even the top 10. It's just so many question marks, so many things you have to replace, and obviously none more important than a quarterback. I had some serious questions about LSU. Obviously, the schedule gets tougher. As they play more SEC games, you know you have Alabama, you know you have Florida. We'll see who else A&M, they gets added to their schedule. Well, yeah, everyone else in the West. Yeah, I meant.
Right.
So that one's the one that gets to me. Michigan at 15, and I know you can speak to this a little bit, John. I never know how good or how bad Michigan is. Part of this is the nonsense Jim Harbaugh likes to spout. I just never know if they're actually legit or not. Notre Dame, kind of in the same realm. Notre Dame always gets touted, but I never feel they're really in a national title discussion. You know, at 10, I feel the same way this year. But LSU at 5, I'm with you, John. I wouldn't be surprised if 8-3 or 7-4 is where they end up. Okay, guys, dessert round as we wrap up the morning menu here. What's a service or product you use that you were reluctant to try at first, but now you think it's changed your life?
I got nothing.
I worded this question very carefully just for you, Hugh, to kind of try and keep you out of trouble.
I tried because I
had it worded differently, and I knew exactly where you were going to go.
No, what are you talking about?
You still may go there, I see, apparently.
No, I would say I don't have one. I don't have one that I could think of that I could share.
And it's not that what you could think. Share. I mean, right? It's all about what you could share. I mean, you have one. You just can't share it.
No, I don't have one.
Oh, okay. All right. To me, it's a cell phone. I resisted for a long time. I remember the guys at Fox were telling me, "Hey, you got to get a cell phone." I'm like, "Well, if you buy me one," I mean, I didn't want to have a cell phone. I want nothing to do with a cell phone. If for no other reason, the only place I could get any alone time, especially in Southern California at the time, in about 2002, was in my car. And so I didn't want anybody to call me in the car. I just wanted alone time. So I resisted cell phones. I didn't get a cell phone until 2005. So I was really late to the cell phone game. That was my first cell phone. And now I don't think I could live without it. Matter of fact, I know I couldn't.
Cell phone. I did not see that one coming. Because I get that's interesting. Because I'm not used to people being reluctant to try the cell phone. It's just technology advanced and whatever. But to me, I think it's Amazon Prime. Like for a long time,
that's
I was
a
like,
good
I'm
call.
Not paying. yeah, I'm not paying money for them to, like, send me. Like, I'll buy stuff. I'm not talking about Amazon, the website. I mean, just their Prime service. But after a while, the two-day shipping and some of the other things you get with it, I mean, I don't even go out for things anymore. I mean, I can wait a day to get a bar of soap. Now, I obviously order it ahead of time. I don't literally shower with no soap. But, I mean, stuff like that, when you're down to the very back end of whatever you need, you can order it, get it there in 2 days. That's worth it for me.
You know what's funny? I have some friends that use that service. I haven't gone there yet because I just think that's just ultimately like real, real lazy. Next thing you know, we're going to be in a movie like iRobot and the robots are going to be taking over. So no, oh, yeah. I don't want to do that.
Oh, yeah.
That's where you're going? You're jumping from Amazon Prime to iRobot?
Yes. Yes. That's okay. The hill that I'm going to choose to die on, Abe. That's the hill that I'm going to.
It's a...
Yeah.
Heck of a jump, but okay.
Yeah, that's where I'm going with this. Yes, indeed.
Morning show with John and Hugh. Coming up, we're going to be talking a little bit about what's going on with the Falcons. Rico Allen is back in charge of that secondary and pretty much in charge of the defense. He's kind of the quarterback of it. Spoke out yesterday, talked on 90 in the game about a number of things. What he had to say about the newcomer, A.J. Terrell, what about Keanu Neal, what about that secondary and more. We'll hear from Rico Allen as we continue and talk Falcons next with John and Hugh on the Morning Show on this Friday on Sports Radio 92 in the game and worldwide at radio.com.
Oh, oh. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.